are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Like the legend
of the Phoenix. Browns fans, there's only one site to get the latest Cleveland Browns news, photos, and videos straight from the source right here in Berea. Visit clevelandbrowns.com for everything Browns. Go now! clevelandbrowns.com. Joining us now from Yahoo Sports, Eric Edholm, who was at Jimmy Garoppolo's pro day yesterday. Eric, how did Jimmy look at his pro day yesterday, in your opinion?
I thought he did pretty well. You know, I mean, for a kid who obviously has been making the rounds in the postseason, I mean, you know, his season ended on December 13th, I think, and immediately went to go train after that. Then went to the East-West Shrine Game, the Senior Bowl. He's been to the Combine. He was back and forth to California. He goes into Northwestern's Pro Day. They let him work out there. Threw 36 passes. 14 were scripted. 22 were scouts' requests. And, you know, except for a deep out, a comeback route, some of the throws that weren't really in his college playbook, I thought he looked pretty darn good. It was very accurate.
Yeah, I mean, the book on him is pretty strong arm and quick release, and it looks like, just by gauging his athletic ability, and I want you to get into that as well, a guy who can escape the rush, that he shows some of those qualities, athletically at least, that seem to be, and do you feel, Eric, that his stock is climbing?
Well, I will tell you this, sort of the signature moment of the day for me was not actually during the pro day workout, but it was before the workout when Jim Harbaugh grabbed and said, hey, you want to throw a little bit? So I kind of snuck off to the side. They went off to this field that was out of the view of the cameras and such. And, you know, and Harbaugh worked him out for about 45 minutes, and maybe 35 it was throwing and 10 was talking. But they did one of Harbaugh's favorite drills, which is the circle drill. Basically, the two guys are throwing each other passes while running in a circle, sort of to see how a guy can throw while he's on the move. And I didn't see one drop pass, pass drop either by Harbaugh or by Garoppolo. So I thought he moved really well. Threw with accuracy like you're talking about. And I asked Harbaugh about that quick release. I said, isn't that, you know, sort of one of his best things? He said, yes, but you want to see him go through the entire motion. You want to see him finish that motion and not just flick it, because that's when the inaccuracy can happen. But yeah, Harbaugh looked impressed, and I think he did pretty well for himself yesterday.
One of the only knocks really on him is obviously competition that he faced at Eastern Illinois, but also a lack of elite, quote-unquote, velocity. How did that look on the NFL throws when you were there on kind of the deeper throws, deeper routes, and down the field?
Yeah, like that 17-yard out. I mean, he shorted it by about 3 yards. You know, it's the kind of throw that I think he's probably capable of making, but because they never repped it, and this is a team that ran 200 plays a game, in, or, you know, 200 plays a day in practice, I should say. They threw the ball 40 times a game. You know, he had certain throws that are just programmed into his brain. So I don't think it was a function of his arm strength, more of just not knowing how much touch to put on the ball. But that's obviously a throw you're going to see in an NFL offense, something that he's going to be asked to do at some point. So, you know, that will come through OTAs, excuse me, in mini camps and just more reps on a pro roster. But, yeah, quick, agile, maybe not ideal height, but athleticism, smarts, charisma. He's got a lot of good things going for him.
What do you make? Let's back up a little bit. So Jim Harbaugh, who last I checked had a quarterback by the name of Colin Kaepernick on his
team.
That's right. Not a bad quarterback, last I checked. He's spending all his extra time with Jimmy Garoppolo, who for most people's assessment would fall into that second tier of quarterbacks in this draft. So as you, I know you were there focusing on Garoppolo and his workout, but you and others had to be quite curious about the whole Harbaugh fascination, whatever the word is, with Garoppolo. What do you make of that?
Yeah, very fascinating. There's no doubt about it. I mean, there were two head coaches at the workout. 31 of the 32 teams were represented. But the two head coaches there were Bill O'Brien, new Texas head coach. They need a quarterback, no questions asked there, and Harbaugh. And, you know, he's obviously got some ties to the Chicago area, but this was out of his way. I mean, he was going back to Kansas City with his family after this. This wasn't something like, hey, I'm in the area, I'll stop by kind of thing. And when I pulled Jim to the side and I asked him about Jimmy Garoppolo, he knew a lot about him. He knew how many games he started his freshman year. He knew the big upset against San Diego State. He'd watched the Northern Illinois tape. He said he'd seen a lot of them on tape. You know, and he said he's kind of charted his career a little bit, and he's followed this guy up. So this is not somebody who's just a little bit of a fascination to him. And Harbaugh said, look, you know, you're always kind of sizing these guys up. You're always fascinated. So I think when you look at Colin Kaepernick heading into the final year of his deal, You know, he's got a four-year contract that started in 2011 when he came out of the draft. You know, he's asking for $18 million. You got to at least start thinking about the next possibility down the line. And they don't really have a backup right now.
No, they do not. And they do. That is something that certainly will need to be addressed. Eric Edholm from Yahoo. You can check him out at the Shutdown Corner on Yahoo there, Yahoo Sports. As you look at this Browns team, is Jimmy Garoppolo a kind of quarterback who you think could thrive in this setting, in this weather, et cetera, et cetera? And where do you see him ultimately going in this draft?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, let's just start with the weather thing. I mean, if you turn on the tape of the playoff loss against Towson, I mean, you know, Eastern Illinois obviously played in some pretty bad weather. I'm just up the road in Chicago, and we're getting crushed by snow. I'm sure it's the same
yes,
with you guys.
Yes, snow better in Cleveland. That's right.
Yeah, so I know Jimmy's played in the elements before. It's an outdoor stadium. You know, all their games this year were outdoors. And, you know, the guy was completing 66% of his passes with good accuracy. So I think that part of it is fine, no problem at all. You know, as far as being the face of the franchise or a savior or anything like that, I mean, it really is interesting. And I'm curious to see how the Browns approach their draft with the three high picks. Do they go QB right off the bat if they love somebody? Do they wait till that second first rounder? Do they even get cute and go to that early second rounder? I mean, options are there. And Jimmy, I think, is in play, you know, with the second and third picks that the Browns have. I think ultimately he's going to go somewhere between 25 and 50. That's probably where he lands.
Yeah, that's probably where a lot of people, I think, have him going right now. Eric Edholm from Yahoo Sports is joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And the other point to make is, if you had to look at what he has or doesn't have compared to, and it's not like there aren't big questions about Teddy Bridgewater, about Blake Bortles, about Johnny Manziel. So what's the separation point, you think? Is it just basically that arm strength question, Eric?
As far as Garoppolo is concerned?
Yeah, compared to those guys. What makes him considered more of the bottom end first rounder versus those other guys who presumably end up somewhere in, and I, you know, and this might be a stretch to say it too, just given what the draft feedback is, top 10 guys or possibly top five.
Right, and you know, we could even throw Derek Carr into that mix because there's a lot of buzz on him, and I don't know where he ultimately will end up, but you know, he's at least sort of in that conversation, or he's a floater guy. I don't know what you want to call it, but yeah, I mean, I think the lack of, you know, top shelf arm strength is one thing. The height, some people will make an issue. Obviously, today's NFL, it's not as big a deal, I don't think, as for as many teams. You know, the lack of the route tree that we were talking about earlier, that's something that's gonna be a concern. The level of competition, even though he did, you know, almost beat Northern Illinois in DeKalb, he took down San Diego State by three touchdowns and played well in those big environments. I think that's a good thing, but yeah, his mechanics, you know, like what Harbaugh was talking about, not just the quick release and maybe not following through, but, you know, I watched four or five of his games where he kind of three-quarters it a little bit, you know, a little bit off to the side. So some of the mechanical stuff might need some cleaning up. He looked great yesterday, but, you know, under duress in a game situation, he can get a little Farvian with the ball, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, Farvian, which can be good when you have the cannon, not as good if you do not. You talked a little bit on Yahoo. You wrote an article about running backs and how they're not drafted early and they seem to be at a depressed value, and there are quite a few in this year's draft that could be grouped in that, you know, anywhere from the second to fourth round area. With the Browns bringing Kyle Shanahan in, his history of success with later running backs, and especially looking for someone who can fit a one-cut zone scheme, who do you see amongst those backs as potentially being a good fit here?
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, obviously, you know, the Shanahans in general have done a great job, and you know, we've seen guys, you know, from other teams been able to find not only late-round success, but undrafted guys. I mean, Arian Foster would be chief among them. Well, obviously, some of these people have questions coming out, but, you know, there's a kid out of West Virginia I really like in Charles Sims, and mm-hmm. I got to watch him pretty closely at the Senior Bowl, and I just think he's such a tough, competitive, versatile kid. You know, pretty good size at 6 foot. I think he's about 215. Decent speed, isn't going to blow you away with any one thing, but, you know, if he's still there in the third or fourth round, my goodness, that's a steal. He could be the first back taken because of his all-around skill. He can pass, protect, catch the ball, et cetera, but it wouldn't shock me if he gets, you know, caught up in the mix a little bit. So, you know, it gets a little harder when you go down the line. I mean, if you start thinking about fifth and sixth and seventh round picks, but obviously, just look at the recent history. Alfred Morris, Zach Stacy, some guys have come out of those rounds and done pretty well for themselves.
Eric, are you going to – what other pro days are you going to check out, or are you?
Yeah, I missed Wisconsin today. We got hit by that snow, and I have a few things to take care of around here. I wanted to get up there, but I think the next one is probably Notre Dame. And, you know, they've got four guys probably somewhere in the top 40, 50 picks, a couple of injured players that are intriguing. So that's probably the next one in a couple weeks.
Okay.
I had one last question for you as it relates to the Browns. I know you've done a lot of off-season blueprints at Yahoo Sports, again, in the shutdown corner. You can check them out. When you look at this team right now, and a lot of the discussion is around what they're going to do at safety with T.J. Ward potentially leaving, maybe going after Jarius Byrd, but also the fact that a corner might be a better fit in this offense, in this defense for Mike Pettine, maybe a Sam Shields. How do you see the Browns attacking free agency in the defensive backfield?
That's a great question. I mean, because, you know, Leon McFadden's something of an unknown, because you don't know you have what you have with Jordan Poyer. I mean, when you start thinking about Gibson and the other options that are going to have to be called upon if you lose people or if you don't add people. Yeah, I mean, I can understand the need for both a corner and a safety. Those are two positions I'd like to see them sort of go after. You know, the safety market's a little deeper and a little stronger than I kind of realized, and especially with your possibly moving on. And there's some pretty decent names out there. And, you know, you don't want sort of Joe to be on an island and I don't think Buster Screen's more than a nickelback, but that's just my personal opinion. We'll see. I'm curious to find out how they go after it.
All right, Eric, we appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys, have a good day. Thank you
as well.
Eric Edholm from YahooSports.com talking about Jimmy Garoppolo's Pro Day and other football thoughts, Browns thoughts as well. We want more of them from you, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Browns_daily. Want to interact. He's Nathan, I'm Vic. It's ESPN 850 WKNR.